How many of you woke up today and said, God, thank you for another day? We just got back from, my family was with me. We went out and went to Woodland, Washington State. And then we went and did a whole bunch of meetings there. And then we took a couple of days in between and then went and did a bunch of another meetings, a bunch of other meetings. And we were going for 2 weeks. It's pretty powerful. Can't hear me? That'll change. So I went for a couple of weeks and we had just an amazing time. Just talking about sonship and talking about identity, who we are. Because there's nothing else. If sonship isn't recognized, we're in big trouble. And so we talked about that for a long time. Lots of meetings about the same thing. That's so cool. The conference was called Pure Heart. And then the second place, without knowing about the first place, was called Pure Love. Which is so sweet. Powerful. And they went together because it's all about becoming a son and having a pure heart so that you can walk in pure love. Really is. There's a place of intimacy that Pastor Don was sharing a little bit about, you know, with Dan. Where Dan told me, because Dan never modeled, I mean, to me, like, I guess he did like a demonstration and taught people about communion, which is awesome. He never modeled that for me. And I heard, you know, I'm like, dude, you kidding me? You never did that for me? All that I has is already I have is already yours. What are you doing? Why? No, I'm just kidding. He didn't. Kind of like the older son, the younger son. No, but he never modeled that. But he always told me to do that because he can model that. And you can have an example. But that's yours, man. And without that, you won't make it. Or you will, and your life will be like a roller coaster without having that place where you can establish a closeness with Him. And it's a constant thing. And that's what it's all about. It's all about intimacy. Because, you know, the first place that I started to understand that is that I heard Bill Johnson say that Jesus is perfect theology. That when you see Jesus, you know, He's everything the Father was because He's the will of God. So like I want to understand how to walk like Jesus. I need to look at Jesus' life and see how he hung with his peeps, but also how he hung with his dad. Because if I'm supposed to be a son and Jesus was a son, then I need to understand what a son did with his dad to be like his dad. So I looked at his life and he poured out all the time. See, I never had a grid for not pouring out all the time. Like I never had an understanding for how people could turn it on and turn it off. I came into the kingdom and I didn't understand the off switch. I didn't see one on Jesus. And then lots of people told me, look, you need to really guard and protect, you know, your family, your this, that, and the other thing. And I'd like to tell you that sounds good, but it's religious and it's not okay. Guarding and protecting your family means that you're going to seek God all the time. Doesn't mean you slight your family. It doesn't mean you dishonor your family, but it means that God comes first. And then the second chain of command on that list isn't your family. The second chain of command is that God comes second too. And the third one is that God comes third and that God comes fourth and then what God comes five. And when you walk in that place, what happens? You start to establish relationship with Him in all aspects of your life, in your job, in your home, in your work, in everything, in school, no matter where you are, it's all about Him. And a lot of people aren't going to be on page and understand that it's all about Him because people still think it's all about them. And so a lot of times when we are establishing intimacy or we're establishing closeness with God, people don't understand. They misread, they misinterpret, they misunderstand. So there's a lot of miscommunication with a person that's not seeing. And so what we can do is we can allow what somebody doesn't see to influence the things we do see, or we can establish that close relationship with God regardless of what's going on around us. See, this thing is all about establishing relationship. A lot of times the trouble is that we don't hear him back. Like, we'll speak out to him and talk to him, but a lot of times we don't hear it dialogue, like we don't hear a dialogue. So we don't hear it coming back. And we always say that God doesn't speak apart from his word, he speaks through his word. So I'm sure that when Dan talked about intimacy, he probably talked about taking his Bible into his room and going in there and saying, God, for me, it was, God, I don't know you. And for me, a lot of times, you know, you can say, well, you can quote, you know, I don't know you in your own lips, and you can think according to an old mindset that, you know, you don't want to quote that, or that's the way you are, you don't want to say that. But no, the reality of this thing is eternal life is knowing him. Eternal life is knowing him, and knowing is to keep knowing. You know, when he said about Isaiah 6, and it says that the train, you know, he kept coming, kept filling. He filled the temple. He filled, and it kept filling. It never stops. So it's a constant filling that keeps coming, and keeps coming, and keeps coming. So is it possible for you to know God but not know God? So by the verbiage that we use, you might say it however you want to, but there's a lot of times when I go in to wherever it is, I don't care if it's a bathroom stall. You gotta grab time, man. Doesn't matter where your life is or what your busy schedule is. You live with you, right? No one's gonna say, hey, listen, here's some closet time for you. God's the God of time, so God will create time for you. But you're gonna have to be more aware of his presence and more aware of him in you, in order to establish that, because sometimes life gets busy. I mean, George, you still farm and stuff like that, right? So you're on a tractor, man. You're out there all the time. I would fight for that in my life. Like, I look at people's lives and people say, man, I'm so busy, I can't find any time and this and that and the other thing. Dude, if I was on a tractor for 2 hours, do you have any idea how... Listen, I'm being real. How fun it is for me to mow my lawn. You have no idea just where my life is and how much is involved in. And I love ministry. That's not even a thing. It's just my life. It's just what we do. But people say that I don't have time. I don't have time. I can't find the time. I can't find the time. I can't find the time. Because they're so busy. I heard someone say busy, the word busy is being under Satan's yoke. Wow. But there's a place where you can be in a busy place but still have communion with God all day. There's a, when I'm on my lawnmower, I'm like, I love it. I'm like, oh God, I'm mowing with you today. And I am going to cruise around the lawn and we're going to mow really awesome. And it's going to be cool. And I'll put something on, just some soft music or whatever, and I'll commune with God. My neighbor, another one moved out, man, so they probably think I'm crazy. God, maybe not because of me, but they see me talking to myself all the time. All the time. It doesn't matter what people think. I really, 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 really am way over people thinking what they want to think about me. Because I have to establish a closeness with him, or I'm no good for me. And if I'm no good for me, I'm positively no good for anybody else. So with the schedule that I keep, it's a constant thing. Like, it doesn't stop, man. And I'm constantly having to pour out. And I'm in a place of a full-time pour out all the time, wherever you go. Sometimes, you know, I'm home for 3 days a week, you know, at the most usually. But I'm not complaining. I'm telling you, I'm trying to share from a personal perspective where my life is and how you can grab for this place at all times, no matter where you're at. So I'm home for 3 days. I jealously guard the time that I have with my family. Because I'm not there, and I need to be a dad to my daughters. I need to be a husband to my wife. So I pull into a place where I want to make sure that I love with everything I am. Not because I have to, but because I get to. Not because people said you got to be careful because you don't want your family to this, that, and the other thing. Why would I want that? I love them. You can't say you love God most and then diss your family. That's a given. That's not even part of this thing. But you can be in this school and you can be the one that's pressing in, the one that's completely on fire for God. And you can get some flack from home about where you're at and what you're going through. And it actually can come to this place where, well, listen, you know, I need help around the house and I need this and I need that and I need this. I'm not telling you to be a Mary in a place where you sit at the feet of Jesus at home and watch your spouse do everything at home and say, I need to spend time with God. I'm telling you that you can be a Martha, get things done, but be a Mary in your life at the same time. You can be a Martha and get everything done. And be a Mary all the time during the time you get things done.
Yes.
See, that was under an old covenant. Do you understand that? Until Jesus died, it was old covenant. So Jesus was alive and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and she was like, Jesus said, this is the best thing. And Martha said, tell my sister to help me. In the new covenant, we can be Mary and Martha together and get everything done and yet be in intimacy the whole time. Do you understand? So you can get everything done and be the best worker. You can be the best husband. You can be the best wife and you can prepare dinner and you can do laundry, whatever. I heard Pastor Dan talk about doing laundry before and I was like, it blew me away, man. In the first couple months that I knew him, I heard him preach that in a healing service. And I was like, you gotta be kidding, man. What is this? This is whacked. No, this is from a man that has established communion. But you know that you can look at Pastor Dan as that king. Pastor Don started this thing out. You can look at Pastor Dan, not that you are, but you can look at him in an idolatry way. Say, I want to be like Dan. And it's not wrong to imitate Dan as he imitate Christ. Right? But it's not okay to not have the same relationship that he has at all times, because he's to point you in a direction to where you could be intimate with the king. Right? That's what we're talking about. Really. Because man, if Dan can have it, then I can have it. See, Dan didn't model relationship with me. He modeled, like, you know, you can squeeze him and all that happens is Jesus comes out. Right? And that's true. But he's modeling what Christianity can look like in a fully surrendered life. So Dan didn't say, Todd, this is what we do in the secret place. This is how we do it. Dan said, dude, you need to spend time with God so you can look like him. Dan said, you need to understand righteousness, because righteousness is going to take you where you need to be so that you can be a son. So that you don't have to do, you could be. And actually, I heard Jack Cashman, who was a pastor that used to be head pastor at YCF. He's a great man. Lots of insight. Helped me tremendously. But he taught me to seek first the renewing of the mind. Which is true. Righteousness and kingdom enables you to start out into the renewing of the mind to where your heart can take you places that your brain can't fit. But renewing of the mind is the conscious place. Actually, I listened to just a little bit of teaching. I was on the plane yesterday. I'm always on a plane. I was on a plane and I invested money in these headphones that are like, they're called Dr. Dre Beats headphones. They're intense. But it's like Jesus is in my ears, dude, and I can't hear anything else. Because they drowned everything out, right? But I'm listening and Bill's talking about, like, that God's been speaking to him about going over and over and over and over the renewing of the mind again. And he started a book called The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind before. If you've ever read it, it's a phenomenal book. But it talks about the attack point of the enemy. Joyce Myers, another mighty woman of God, has the battlefield of the mind. Why? Because that is Satan's attack point. And if he can battle your mind hard enough, you can never establish intimacy with God. So this thing's all about the renewing of the mind so that I can see him. And as I see him, I become like him. Is this making any sense at all? Because this is crucial. Do you know that like we could talk about this every day in school. Every day. You could talk about it every day. And still need to talk about it every day. It's not about teach me something new. It's not about I need a new thing. God, show me something new. No, it's about let's get the new thing that God said it was going to be. That was like this new covenant, this new creation reality, this hookup to the Most High, where you're constantly hooked up every day and nothing separates you from God but you. So if you're your worst enemy and selfishness needs to be crushed, then the way that seems right to a man must go so that we can have a way that seems right to him. Make it sense at all? All right. I feel real calm, but real calculated right now. I had no idea what to talk about when I came up here. But I'm going to tell you that when you see the Lord high and lifted up, God will take a coal and burn you in such a way where you have such a relationship with God where you wouldn't want to violate your conscience. You wouldn't want to violate relationship. You wouldn't want to violate the love that you have here. And so this looks really good. Because when things look really good here, then you actually look like a Christian instead of just talk like one. So originally I was planned to be here for this whole week, and I think Pastor Don, did you talk to them and tell them? I can tell them.
Not really.
I had talked to Pastor Don about it and stuff, and I'm not going to be able to be here this whole week. I actually leave tomorrow morning to go and do a conference with David Hogan out in Arkansas. So I hope to like. Yeah, I hope to like die there more. No, but yeah, he's. He's amazing. The things that I hear in his ministry, and they have like over 500 people raised from the dead. I don't even know what that looks like. I'm being real. I'm so thankful for a headache when it leaves. I don't even know what it would be like to have three pastors have their heads cut off, put them into body bags with the same head, and 3 hours have them all sit up. I have no clue. I don't even have a grid for that. Not even the slightest. Did I talk to you since I came back from Switzerland?
Yes.
Did I tell you what happened with Zoe out there?
Yes.
I didn't have a grid for that. I want to be completely prepared for anything at all times. And it all comes out of intimacy. And thank God that he's merciful. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and just welcome you. You're so good. We just love you and give you honor and glory, God. Holy Spirit, we just give you complete permission to dominate our mind. Here's something that I've prayed every day. I don't pray it every day so much anymore. It's a given for years. Because I'm pretty young in the Lord. But from day one, I said, God, I'm asking you, anything in my life that you see that needs to be broken, I am all about Holy Spirit shining His light deep in my heart and allowing your word to cut me deep. God, I'm asking you to prune me and shape me and mold me and squeeze me. God, have your way in me. I'm yours. Because I know that when you squeeze or when you cut or when you snip, grace empowers twice as much fruit to be produced. Jesus, we welcome you. Would you always give him permission? Just, you know, if there's one thing that I could share with you that is enabling me to walk, because all I can do is equip you with what God's shown me and equipped me with. I can't show you what God's equipped someone else with. I couldn't sit here and share with you and show you what God's equipped David with. I couldn't, but I can share with you out of a personal perspective of what God's done in my life and what He's taught me. Because then what you can do is you can't apply it as a principle, but you can take it to God and say, what does this look like in my life? Because you're not going to be me, and you're never supposed to. You're supposed to be the best you that God made. So you're never going to be me. I mean, God might make him grow dreads because... But what you can do is you can take and establish from teaching. But what we need to do is no matter what Dan shares with you, because I know he's, man, I can't think of a better person to have, like, as far as teaching ability and modeling ability that I've ever seen in my life. Now, I'm not disrespecting anybody. I love Dan with all my heart, with everything. You know, I call him my spiritual dad, and he is. But a spiritual dad will never take away the very fact that you need to establish an amazing relationship with God. A spiritual dad will always tell you, listen, I can't take you there. I can show you, I can share with you, but you have to establish your own relationship with God. Otherwise, it's almost like a counselor making you dependent upon them in order to keep your salvation, which is sin. This is all about establishing relationship. If Jesus is, if his priority, if it says that for this reason, the Son of Man or the Son of God was made manifest in 1 John 3:8, it says to destroy the works of the devil. Do you know that the works of the devil aren't just sickness and disease? Do you know the works of the devil are sin, is sin? And when you look at the context of 1 John and where he's saying that, he's actually talking about, he's sinned from the beginning. He's actually talking about the devil. He's actually talking about that. So Jesus came to destroy the works. If Jesus, now watch this. If Jesus walked and was tempted at all points, yet committed no sin, and we're supposed to walk like him, is it possible for you to walk with no sin?
Absolutely.
Without spending close time with God and intimacy in our lives, it's impossible for you to walk that way, because it will become legalism really quick, and you'll be pinned under stuff that there's no way that you can ever walk it out. And you'll think that it's an absolute impossibility. So out of intimacy, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Listen, we love to talk about miracles. We love to talk about healing. And everywhere I go, there's a press for, teach us how to pray for the sick. Teach us how to heal the sick. Teach us how to walk in authority. Teach us how. Well, you walk in authority through sonship. So God is gearing and shifting. Like for the last year, on both sides, Pastor Dan and me, even though we're on different parts of of the nation. Like he's shifting our message in the same way without even us talking together to see how it's shifting. But then we'll talk and we'll give stories and it'll be the same thing that God was doing over here as he's doing over there, because we're one. So God is right now establishing sonship all over the world. Like sonship, like the press, like in Galatians 4 when it says the time has been fulfilled, you know, that right now, son, it's about being a son. So God's establishing sonship because intimacy is established in sonship, and out of intimacy we destroy the works of the devil. So out of sonship we destroy the works of the devil. Out of right standing with God, when it says seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. All these things aren't just stuff. All these things are everything you leave, everything you need according to life and godliness. It's all in him. So the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So seeking first the kingdom is seeking first intimacy with God through agency of Holy Spirit, so that we can establish righteousness and understand who we really are. And we've been made right with God. Death has lost its power. Sin has lost its sting. The sting of sin is that you were created in God's image. We took on the nature of fallen man because we fell, and we were created in God's image, but we took on the very image of the enemy growing through life, whether you grow up in the church or not. And so all of a sudden, Jesus comes to restore that which was lost, which is relationship with God, because Adam had relationship. Jesus is the second Adam. I know you know all this. I know you've been taught this, but it's not tedious to go over it again and again and again and again. Because when this becomes grounded and founded, and there is nothing else, everything else is just an added benefit and a byproduct of sonship. When sonship is recognized and realized, life isn't that hard anymore. But if life is still hard and things are still rough, it's because we're not handling life as a son. We're handling it as a Christian that is incorporating godly principles in order to be okay. But you're already okay because of being. And then when the squeeze and the crush comes by the world, what happens is it just produces a deeper understanding of sonship in you. Is that making sense at all?
Yes.
It does to me, because this is how I like. You got a question?
Well, I don't disagree. I just, one thing that the Bible makes clear that we tend to gloss over is that we are going to have trials or tribulations.
Yeah.
The devil attacks us because he wants to push us off the path.
Right. Well, the attack's not the issue.
Right.
The attack's not the issue. He attacks everyone. Right? We're all attacked. It says that when you're even tempted, don't think that you're tempted beyond that which you can bear, because God will always provide a way out of the temptation. You want to hear something really crazy and really strange? If I told you that I'm not tempted, would that be something that you would think it was freaky?
Yeah.
Good, because I'm not tempted. Why would I want this when I have this? I want you to ask Dan, how many times a day are you tempted, Dan? Tempted to sin, tempted to fall away. Why would this viable temptation of this right here be anything if I have this right here? See, what we're talking about is intimacy and sonship. I'm not talking about, am I perfect and never miss it? There's a difference between being tempted when I establish intimacy with God, and when I establish relationship with God, and this thing gets completely solid, I might have a tendency to trip, but never a longing to miss it. When I establish this right here, and relationship is set up here on my lawnmower, when I come into a situation that is bigger than the God that I'm used to, that thing might freak me out, but I'm not tempted to miss it. I might stumble, but immediately I understand that God is faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness immediately. No longer do I have a luring temptation to look at women and undress them with my eyes. Because I'm a son and I love my wife and I love my God. Do you have any, that is so powerful. Do you know that since day one, when I was in Teen Challenge, I had a lust problem before? Really? It's the fall of man. And I came home to my house and got rid of all the bad things that were involved with that. Because I had a fear of God in my heart. A fear of God. Not because I was afraid that God was going to see. God already sees all things. But because the Holy Spirit relationship is being established in me in such a strong way where I wouldn't want to have anything to violate this. Because this is so good. While I was yet a sinner, God loved me, gave His Son for me. So man, why would I want to mess this up? This is too good to be true. But this is the only true. It's too good to be true, but it's the only true. Because the too good to be true came actually out of the fall of man. Well, you know, that's too good to be true. It's a way that seems right to a man. The way that seems right to a man can't even imagine for a second you walking free from temptation. There's no way. Why? Because brother, we're all tempted. Hey brother, we're all tempted. I'm no longer a sinner anymore, so I don't have a temptation to do it. I'm a son. I have a relationship with my dad. I'm supposed to be just like my dad. This shouldn't be far out there. It shouldn't be twisted. I'm telling you that this is coming out of a 6-year, October will be 6 years, a 6-year relationship where God loved me when I was way unlovable, where God picked me up not to put me back, where God took me somewhere that there's nowhere to slide back to. Where would I slide to? What are you sliding back to? There's nothing there. It's dead. It's gone. It's finished. If my old man is really not alive, my new man doesn't have the ability to miss it. And if I keep my conscience as clean as God created it to be in the beginning, and the blood has truly washed my conscience back clean again from dead works so I can serve Him, why would I want to bring anything in that's in violation to the relationship that I have with Him? I'm not twisted or out there. I'm telling you, this is how I live. I live with me. So if I slip, God's faithful and just, but I don't think about slipping nor think I'm going to slip. Yeah. Right. But how many of us are really dead? It's true. I've heard the same thing. Dead man can't sin. It's true. Okay. Dead man can't sin, which is true. But how many people sow in television and sow in things that nurture the carnal nature and try to keep a dead man alive? Because we don't have time to spend with God, but we have time to sit in front of a TV for 2 hours. Because we don't want to miss our favorite show because it's a habit in our life and we don't want to miss that because it makes us actually calm down and relax after a hard days at work. When really the calming down and relaxing would be great if we'd spend all day in intimacy with God and turn off the television. It's true that dead men don't sin, but if you have the tendency to want to absorb from something because you have to see it to understand it, then as you see Him, you'll become like Him. But as you see the tube, you become like it. As we don't go to the counselor, the wise counselor, I'm not telling you that you're a sinner if you watch football. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying, because people take it to the extreme and say, are you trying to tell me I can't watch sports anymore? Dude, I'm not saying that at all. I'm telling you, the commercials come on. Do you like them? You can't watch a commercial without it being lust intention. You can't. I don't care if it's a toilet paper commercial. It's the same thing. It's twisted. I can't even let my kids watch cartoons that are on today sometimes. I won't let them watch Shrek. That's a mean dad. Wrong. There's adult innuendo trash in there that I don't want in my kid's life. Well, you're sheltering your kids. You're not letting them experience the world. That's not true. I need to let them have a godly experience with God so they know the way that seems right to a man. They can see it. They can picture it and say, I don't want that in my life. But I'm not telling them they can't watch TV. I'm telling you that I'll never have cable in my house. Ever. It's too many opportunities to miss it right there in front of you. And it's at the control of this. I'm not telling you that you're bad if you have it. I'm telling you that from day one in my life, God cut that thing out. Because TV was a king to me. You have a question?
I do, Todd. I always wonder, what is the definition of temptation, and like, how can you know, like, what is a temptation, and then like, what is a sin? Do you know what I mean? Like, if something occurs to you.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
All right. Yeah. Oh, see, you know how good God is. Go to James 1. You guys all right? It's making sense. It's biblical. It really is. It seems like it's unattainable because of how we've grown up and what we've been taught. So a lot of times what happens is God's just defending the mind to reveal the heart. But your heart's not bad, so you've been given a brand new heart. Let's just read. All right. Have you been given a divine nature by God?
Yes.
What's the mystery revealed?
Christ
in you, the hope of glory. Okay. Do you know that God puts stuff in Scripture because He believes His Word? Do you know that the Word is set up in such a way that if it gets in you, do you know there's places in Scripture, like in Peter, where God says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble. That's pretty important. What would it be like to never stumble? Well, in Jude, it says that God can keep you from ever stumbling. And in Peter, it says that if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You know, it talks about adding to this, this, and this, this, and this, this. I'm just gonna read, and I'll start in just the beginning of James. I congratulate you guys for being able to come to school. I ought to turn it off, probably. There you go. I wasn't upset about your phone. Jesus. Okay, let's do it. James 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. First of all, to count it a joy to be in a trial, you really need some serious mind renewal going on. Because trials aren't fun. The end product is fun. Because God can use anything. God doesn't deal, we say it, God doesn't give you the lemons, but He can make lemonade out of any lemons that are dealt. Right? He can win. I heard Bill Johnson say He can win with a pair of twos. Right? God can win with everything, but it's not God that gave you that to start it out, but it is God that can work all things out to the goodness of God, right? If our eye is focused on Him. And during the trial, you can never have peace unless your mind is fixed on Him. Because God will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is fixed on him. Why? Because he trusts in him. So now something comes, your mind is fixed on him, you'll have perfect peace during the trial, and that's the only way to have joy during the trial. Make sense? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I have all kinds of stuff that he shared with me, and I wrote everything. Oh my gosh. So hard to get rid of this one, this Bible. I have so many notes in here. So knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, let patience have its perfect work so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And the word perfect there is mature. So let patience have its perfect work that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. What would it be like to lack nothing? The lacking nothing comes out of being faced with stuff that's bigger than what you're used to, having your mind fixed on things on him above. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as our mind is fixed and focused on him, as we face stuff, it actually perfects our faith and actually brings us into a Christian maturity, that Christian maturity is only built through the trial. So as we go through and as we handle trials, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. We become closer and closer and closer. That thing that happened with Destiny and Zoe, that thing that happened in Switzerland, made me more mature in my Christianity, even though for 30 seconds I handled it wrong. But God woke me up in 30 seconds, and it actually happened through my daughter. We're the body. It's good if we have each other. What I would call that actually is in my daughter that time, she doesn't know it, but it was the slap of a friend. It says, welcome the slap of a friend in Proverbs, which means when someone else sees something that's wrong in your life, and you better be able to be corrected by your little ones. I've told Zoe from day one, that when she saw something on a cartoon one time, I forget exactly which one it was, but someone got angry and Zoe goes, Daddy, why? I said, mean people need Jesus, Zoe. So if I'm correcting Destiny, Zoe will come up to me and say, Daddy, you need Jesus. And you know what I do? I said, you know what? You're right. I told Pastor Don that. I told you long when it happened the first time. I'm like, you know, she's right. Because sometimes in correction, we can get to a place where it gets escalated in voice to where a little one will see that and say, that's not right. You need to be able to take that and say, look, you need to be able to take that and say, wow, thanks, honey. You're right. Daddy's sorry. Do you know that's imperative? I'm pretty transparent, man. My life is pretty open. I'm sure Dan's never raised his voice. It's almost hard to realize and see. I guarantee you there's been some things that he's raised his voice at. We hate the devil. We do. One of the things that I'm learning and growing in is that when I see the enemy at work in someone's life, I can't stand it so much. It violates everything in me because I know it's wrong. And when I see him trying to infiltrate into family or infiltrate into destiny, just try to manipulate her thought in a way, I'm learning how to respond to get that thing to go, but making sure that my response is in peace. And I haven't, one thing I've attained is my past is gone. It's completely done. I understand that. And I'm pressing into this because I want her to see what a loving father would be like so that she doesn't have any misconception of what a loving father is. Okay. Jesus, I love you. So this is one of the first scriptures that God pointed out. It's actually the first scripture that God pointed out in Teen Challenge 6 years ago when I was up there. I was reading. I opened up my Bible. I couldn't read. I had ADHD, so I couldn't understand anything, pretty much, that I read. I'd forget everything I read. And this is the first scripture that God opened up to me. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and some of you have heard me share before, so you understand where I'm going here. But it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He gives without reminding us of our unworthiness. Reproach pretty much means. And it will be given, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And I read that scripture, and I and it was the first one that jumped off the page at me. And I've been pressing in. I was at Teen Challenge. I was there for, you know, a month and a half, man. And I'm reading and not really understanding anything I'm reading. But I had submitted to God, because out of submission you resist the devil. You don't resist the devil. You submit to God, and he resists the devil through his truth.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth that sets you free. Right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm in there, and I read this scripture, and it pops off the page, and I get it. It's the first thing that woke me up. See, there's a way that seems right to a man, and the wisdom of God crushes that.
Thank you, Lord.
There was a way that sought right to be, that thought that I thought to be right my whole life. It was the way of the carnal mind. It's at war against God. And until the wisdom of God comes in, the carnal mind is still at war against God. And until the wisdom of God comes in, your carnal mind will upstage your divine nature. Even though you've got everything according to life and godliness inside, what you don't know will kill you. In the kingdom, we perish for lack of knowledge. Knowledge isn't just head knowledge. I can memorize scripture and it can help. That scripture went right down deep, man, and just shined out of my heart. See, I believe when you get born again, you get a brand new heart. And I believe your brand new heart comes with the word already in it. So I believe Holy Spirit went whoosh and shined on that one scripture right then. And it illuminated inside of my heart. And let me know that there's a way that seems right to me and it's not right. So God said, if I lack wisdom, ask him. It's the first part of it. I only got the first part of that scripture. I didn't even get the let him ask in faith part. I didn't get past that. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally. And I know that liberally means freedom, freely. So liberally, without reproach. And I think I was reading the NIV and it says without finding fault. And it will be given to him. So I knew that all the promises of God were yes and in him, amen. Not yes and no, but yes. So if I ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to me. It's the first thing, and it happens to be the most important thing, because in Proverbs it says, it actually in Psalms, it talks about wisdom, 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 wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I know that as I'm reading, that wisdom is the fear of the Lord, that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And Jesus delighted completely. That was his most delight, was in that one there, right? The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Paul talked about in Galatians that the eyes of our heart will be the spirit of wisdom and understanding of revelation and truth. So wisdom, it's where it's at. So it went, oh my gosh, God, that's it. I have no wisdom. I'm wisdomless.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah.
That's really how it happened. And it came alive in me. And I said, I don't have a clue. That's it. I'm clueless. I'm wisdomless. Help God. And it made sense to me. I didn't have it. I had clueless my whole life. Had no biblical understanding. Had no college. Had no church growing up. Didn't know anything. I saw that and man, that's it. And it came alive in me. I don't care if you've grown up in church. Let that scripture come alive in you. Say, God, get alone with him and say, God, I lack wisdom. I lack wisdom. Because my life doesn't look like Jesus. If your life doesn't look like Jesus, say, I lack wisdom, God. Every day, God, I lack wisdom. That first day, it opened up. And then every day, I would pray, God, I'm wisdomless. God, I don't have any wisdom. God, without your wisdom, I'm in trouble. Every day. Like a little kid, I'm wisdomless, God. You think, well, you quote that. You don't quote that. You're not wisdomless. God's given you everything, but some other something, and you can quote it all. But if your life doesn't look like Jesus, stop quoting it and start becoming it. Not beating you up, not saying mean things. I'm saying if you're not walking like Christ walked, guess what? Today I haven't yet walked exactly like Christ walked. So God, today, again, I lack wisdom. I need it. Seek it more than silver. Seek it more than gold. Wisdom cries aloud. You know, there was a guy in Teen Challenge and this probably helped because he used to preach this message called Stuck on Stupid. I'm serious, man. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? That's how he started it out. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I feel cut to my heart and not even know what cut me. He would share that. This guy was a 27-year IV cocaine user. Every part on his body was a track mark. Every vein was nothing but a track mark. Every vein. Now watch this. He preached that and had a serious, Pastor Dan will tell you, more of an anointing for addiction, for crushing addiction than anybody that Dan has ever talked to. Still to this day, Dan will tell you the same thing. When I had an encounter with Jesus 2 months into it, he didn't believe the testimony. The disciples did the same thing with Mary. I saw the Lord. And Jesus rebuked them for their hardness of heart. So that day when I heard from God, go home. Because 2 months, I went home 10 months early. And in all actuality, people that leave Teen Challenge early don't do well. He told me, he freaked out on me. And said, you ain't hearing God. It's not God. Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light, this, that, and the other thing. Because what he did was allow that way that seems right to a man to interfere with what God had done. But I'm talking to a man that was 27-year IV cocaine user, all track marks, went through Teen Challenge 4 times, and used the program as a means to staying clean. And actually fell again after I left. Now he went through restoration, he's back in, and he's doing it again. Not honor him, and I'm not faulting him for anything. I'm saying there's such a place inside of you that when the wisdom actually gets established inside of you, the temptation to miss it no longer exists in you. You with me? But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord, for he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. I didn't get to there, but by the time I got to there, I had got to here. And when I got to here, when I read that, it just reinforced what I got to. Because I didn't have any wisdom, I'd messed up everything in my life, and God was showing me a way that I could have wisdom and be strong with him. Let the lowly brother get glory in his exaltation, but let the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with its burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. For each one, see, we're taught that Satan tempts you. That's not what the Bible is teaching here. This is very important to get this right here. Very, 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 very. Because God started this thing out with wisdom so that you could start to think and see things from his way. Because a lot of times in the church, we teach that Satan tempted me. Well, Satan tempted me. Satan tempted me. Satan tempted me. Satan tempted me. We're tempted by our old nature. This is so powerful. I'm telling you right now that when this comes alive in you, the fear of God will grow in you so profuse where you wouldn't do anything to mess this up. Because God is so good. He set you free from you so that we can be free from each other. So that all I owe you is love. Because if I'm not free from you, I'll say, well, Satan tempted me and made me respond like the devil to you. Because we really don't understand what we've been set free of. Take it for what you want, man. This is alive in me, dude. I live in this every day. Oh, it's what keeps me clean. I mean, the whole Bible does, but this is amazing. I'm going to read it again. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. Let me ask you this. So powerful. Are you approved by God?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
See, this goes against a whole lot of theological stuff that I've heard after God revealed it to me, so it doesn't matter. Oh my gosh. See, you know that Paul talked about having laid up for him the crown of righteousness. So there's a reason why God says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Do you know that it says that don't be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove? That word prove is approve. Same stuff. This is so powerful. I would tell you to live in here. Live in it. Live in it. Because when you mess up, if you mess up, is what 1 John says. If you slip, you'll have an advocate that's faith and just to cleanse you immediately, right away. You won't even have to like spend time in it. 30 seconds is way too long to spend in a mess up. You can't afford to spend time in a mess up. Because when something happens and you do, Satan will climb up on you and pound you. And he'll start to get you to look introspective, to look at all the things that aren't right. And then all of a sudden, you're in a downward spiral wondering where God is. Are you with me? Let no one... Man, look at that. It says, for when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. All of the promises are yes, and in him, amen. Please don't look at this and that you have to go through temptation until you get to heaven. You don't have a dual nature. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire was conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So watch this. People are tempted when they're drawn away by your own desire inside. This is where I go and why I share how important it is to be careful about what you put in here and what you bring in here. See, I've talked about television and stuff, and I get into churches and tell where they've had bouts with legalism in their churches and stuff. And when I talk about this, they like plug their ears. Because they don't want to be told that the TV is a bad thing. People are told that, listen, you gotta, look, I remember a certain place that I went where they had a really good thing going. And it was a school. And I remember that some of the students were upset because of some of the older students, the senior students that had been there for a while, were telling them that you could watch whatever you wanted to watch and chew up the meat and spit out the bones. And they were telling them that we need to watch Harry Potter because that's where the world is, and we need to understand that you can find God in everything. Now, hold on. So I said to him, I said, so you're saying to me that you can watch a show that's 95% really not okay and completely out there, and you can watch a show and get the 5% and you can build off of that, but the 95% just doesn't go in you or out of you or nothing. It just, your eye gate is everything. Your ear gate is everything. God's told us to be holy as He is holy. Why would we sow in something that Jesus paid a price to crush? Why would we put back in us something that He paid a price to completely annihilate and call it Christianity? Why? This is why music is so powerful. Because music bypasses your brain and goes straight to your heart, but it comes in through your ears. I won't read books that have twists in them, because as soon as I see a twist, I understand that there's going to be more twists. Why would I put that in there? I've had people send me books to the church here because they see videos or whatever, hear teachings, and they disagree with, let's just say, God's will to heal. And send me books and say, listen, brother, I realize your stance and I respect who you are in God, but you have to understand sometimes God just says no. And send me a book that's written on why God says no. That goes right in the trash. Not because I dishonor them or disrespect them, but because I have a love relationship with God and I honor Him and I jealously guard what God's given me. I won't listen to teaching that has anything to do with anything less than the fullness of God in me. I don't want it in me. I don't want it. I don't want it. You can't bring it. I won't sit in a service and absorb it, nor sit in front of it. I'm gone. Why? I cannot afford to take in through my ear gate anything less than what Jesus paid a price for. I'm not telling you to leave your churches. I'm saying you got to weigh that thing out with God. But it's very important that you grow every day. All the time. That it be a growth thing. You all right? Mm-hmm. This is good stuff. It'll set you free from you. Yeah. Ah! Jesus. So look, it's saying that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. What if, please don't listen to the voice of condemnation that's right now trying to whisper, are you trying to tell me that I still have evil desires in me and this and that and the other thing. I'm telling you that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you're tempted, it's because something's still in you that should not be there. Am I safe? I hope so. I live in this place, guys. I don't live, this isn't a fantasy world. You might want to say it is, go ahead.
So what about when it says Jesus was tempted in all ways?
Jesus was tempted at all points, yet without sin. Right on. So he was tempted at all points without sin. We don't even know what that looks like. There are things that, at all points, we were never tempted at all points. There's no possible way. I could list some things and I won't. But I could list some visuals of some pictures that Jesus was tempted in, and we can't even hear that. I want to tell you that Jesus paid a price through an Old Testament law. He was tempted at all points, yet without sin. He fulfilled the law completely. You can help me, Pastor Don. This is where I'm at. Did he give you a brand new nature?
Yes.
Did people in the Old Testament have the ability to have that brand new nature?
No.
So Jesus came, was born into the law, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus walked his life out never was tempted, paid a price, satisfied the fire of the law, which always needed another log to burn because it was never satisfied, satisfied the wrath of God, drank that cup, finished the law completely, crushed that. The Holy Ghost was poured out to make us a brand new creation reality so that we would be like a race of people on the earth that was never before. So we say I'm standing in the garden as if I've never eaten the tree, and that's true, but it's a better thing than what Adam had. Amen. So Jesus paid a price, this is what I believe in my heart. He paid a complete price to set me free from the law of sin and death, right? So that I wouldn't be under the law, I would be under the law of love, the law of liberty. It actually talks about the law of liberty. So Jesus was tempted at all points, yet without sin. And now what he's saying is that when people are tempted, they're tempted by something that's in them. So if we've been recreated and we're a brand new creation reality, and if the point that is attacked is the mind, then as our mind gets renewed and as the sanctification of God goes through the whole body by spending time with him in this intimate place, in this love place, that temptation to miss it no longer exists inside of me. Because the ability to make it is all I see. Is that making sense? So Jesus fulfilled the law and went through the whole Old Testament, was tempted at all points, yet without sin. And we're supposed to walk like Jesus, right? But it's saying that right now, in 1 John, it's actually saying that as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus fulfilled the law, crushed it. And as he is, what is he now? He's love. So he sits at the right hand of God as love. So as he is, so are we in this world. Not just all powerful, but complete love. So as we get completely transformed by the renewing of our mind, it's a process. But if we don't spend time in here asking Holy Spirit to make these scriptures alive, I'm telling you the first alive point that came into my life right now. So this thing came and it showed me everything in me could make it. Because that part that was in me doesn't exist anymore. It's a new creation reality. The hardest thing to get in this is when we're intellectual and when we think too much. I'm not saying that you are. I'm telling you that's the hardest thing because our minds are built to learn. So learn. Right? But during the practical application of this right here, I can walk through my life and never have anything inside of me that desires to be tempted and entice me and lead me away because the love relationship is so strong and so amazingly powerful that this right here knocks this right here out. Is this making sense? It's... Go ahead, man. Bring it. Hold on.
Things we talked about yesterday, remember what we talked about was revelation without application is pretty much useless. All we're doing is gaining knowledge. So what he's trying to bring across is the application of everything that he's saying. We'll give him a break. Y'all are going to need one, too, in just a minute. Yep. Okay. Matter of fact, do you want to do a break right now?
Yeah,
revelation without application becomes just a bunch of head knowledge, okay? So what John's trying to bring across, and I guess one of the things we need to establish so that everybody's okay with this is we divide the Bible into two different books. We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. But you have to understand the first 7 chapters of Matthew are all Old Testament. The first 12 chapters of Mark are all Old Testament. It's not until the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we enter into a New Testament covenant. So when Jesus is walking, you're reading, you're actually quoting, whether it's Matthew 4 or Luke 4, be the same thing. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert. What's it say next? To be tempted of the devil. Right? So we read that and we say, who was tempting Jesus? Well, the devil was tempting Jesus, right? But what Todd just read in James says, who's tempting us? Every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Yeah.
That's what it says, right? I mean, I'm quoting King James because 30 years of memorization. Okay. But that's the way it says that. So we have to look at that and say, wait a minute, the devil was tempting Jesus, but we're tempted by our Adamic nature. Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
And that's what he's saying. So he's saying, for years we've said, we have quoted, we're tempted by the devil tempted us. We can even go back to the Garden of Eden, we look at Eve, who tempted Eve? The serpent tempted Eve, right? And we go back to that. And what he's trying to bring across is that we're looking at two different different covenants. We're looking at two different testaments. And what Jesus is saying,
James has it recorded, but what he's saying is, he's saying, listen, man, we're tempted by our own lust and enticed. And there's a place where we won't even be tempted by our own lust anymore because we're not under the law. Under the law, where our greatest concern is that we would disobey. Right?
Right?
We don't want to disobey the law.
Right.
But we're not under the law, we're under grace.
Right.
And our greatest thing would be that we don't want to disappoint.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Because now I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
Before I was in a relationship with the rules, but now I'm in a relationship with the ruler.
Right.
That's a good word right there. Okay? I don't have just a relationship with the rules, I'm having a relationship with the ruler. So I'm not worried about disobeying, I'm more concerned about disappointing. I don't want to disappoint because I'm in a love relationship with him, and all I want is to love him and let his love come back to me. So it's more about disappointing than it is about disobeying. So what he's saying is there's a place where I can walk where I no longer, this doesn't even touch me because the relationship is so strong. I wouldn't do anything to disappoint him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's strong, man. But go ahead, you're back. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm right there, dude.
Okay, good.
Can we have a podcast?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
You're good?
Your mic's
not
on.
It's not?
No.
Am I on now?
Yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
So by spending time with Jesus, that time changes us. And when trials come, that helps us know the change.
Mm-hmm. By spending time with Jesus, the intimacy changes, like my time on the lawnmower, right? I'm trying to use a practical example. You guys okay? You guys need to use bathroom. Go. Go. I see people going, just do it. Just come back in 10 minutes. Can you do that?